Our orchestra and our praise band, Miriam, all those who are leading us in worship during this time of COVID. And thank you for being here today. I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. We're going to look in several passages of Scripture. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians, also in Philippians and the book of Acts. And today I want to talk about the discerning of spirits. We have so many people today, so many leaders in our country that are politically correct, and they're kind of trying to control not only what you say, but what you think. You need to have a discerning spirit concerning truth. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. To one there's given the Spirit, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing but that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. There's a small island that's connected with the Bahamas. The people there have one product that they export that helps drive the economy of this small place. Their product? They mine salt. The problem is there's only one shipping lane that goes to this island. There's only one channel that is deep enough so that you can get to the docks and the ships unload the salt. Out on the land, you'll see three poles. They look like telephone poles. Each one of them 50 feet tall. And they're lined up several yards from each other. On top, there's a light on each. Ordinarily, if you see that a sea captain is going to be directed, those kind of posts are out in the ocean so he can line up his ship. But that's not the case at this little island in the Bahamas. These are all on land, and what the ship captain has to do is, as he's approaching where he thinks the channel is, he has to line himself up with those three 50-foot posts with the lights on top, so that where he's sitting in his seat guiding that ship, it does not look like there are three poles, but it looks like there are only one. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way when we yield to him, the Holy Spirit leads our lives. Think with me for just a moment. May want to just write this down, not in your outline. There are three kinds of discernment. One is called common sense. In Silver Creek, you would call that horse sense. Even lost people have common sense and horse sense. I know very intelligent people who have absolutely no common sense, no horse sense at all. I know some people that are not real smart, but they're loaded with common sense and horse sense. You can recognize right and wrong with common sense and horse sense. Then the second level of discernment is a spiritual discernment. You can discern what is right and wrong by a study of the Word of God. We get our compass of what is right and wrong as believers, not from a politically correct society. We get it from the Word of God. The Word never changes. Then the third level of discernment is the spiritual gift of discernment that God bestows upon some of us. When we get saved, we're given at least one spiritual gift. It might be the gift of giving. It might be the gift of encouragement. And there's several gifts there that are listed in that Corinthians passage that I read for you. But some people have the supernatural ability to go above normal discernment. They're so knowledgeable. The revelation of the Spirit gives them this gift. They can decide when somebody's up preaching what their motive is in their heart, whether what they're saying is true or it's false or it's truth mixed with error. They are also people who have the spiritual gift of discernment, can meet you and talk with you, and in about first 10 or 15 minutes, they've got your number. They know where you are spiritually. They know what kind of person you are. They know whether they can trust you or not. Because we don't use one of these levels of discernment, or two of them, or sometimes you have that spiritual gift of discernment, we misjudge people, we misjudge circumstances, and we miscalculate opportunities. Spiritual gift of discernment was very, very important back in biblical times. As you remember, they didn't have the asset that we do, the written word of God. Now, Paul was writing some of his prison epistles, and Mark and Luke and John and all the others, but everybody didn't have access to the scriptures, so it was nice when preachers would come traveling through your town if you had somebody beside you who had the spiritual gift of discernment to see if what they were teaching was actually from God. This is why millions and millions of people, not only in America, but around the world, are turning to cults. And one of the problems is we as Baptists don't know what we believe, nor why we believe it, and we are easily deceived. We see here that the false teachers are sly, they're seductive, and they're very, very subtle. So let's begin today with what is the spiritual gift of discernment, and that's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see what they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now notice John uses that word try. That refers to the testing of something like the strength of metal. He says you need to put it to the test and see if it's whether it's of God or not. It's not a metaphysical operation. It's not a mind reading. It's not extrasensory perception. It's not some psychoanalysis, but it's a supernatural endowment of God that enables you to separate and decide regarding the spirits that are in operation in the body of Christ. Cults will oftentimes tell you, oh yes, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. They tell you that, but they don't believe that he is the incarnate God, but they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that they believe that is God in the flesh. They're not going to recognize his divinity, but they mix truth with error, and that lures people in. I remember years ago when I went to the funeral of a friend's sister, and that particular place was Jehovah's Witness building, I'm going to use that word. And I'll never forget one of the elders standing there saying, listen, when we die, we are still, our spirit still in that body. And then he began to tell how many Jehovah's Witnesses were actually going to enter into the gates of heaven. People were saying amen all over that auditorium. I believe I sense the presence and the power of the demonic in that building more than any other place I've ever been in my whole life. But the problem is, most of the people in America that are in cults were actually raised in Christian churches. They're raised in our Sunday schools and our youth groups and in our worship. And the reason is they get disgruntled, or they don't take seriously the study of the Word of God, or they're not matured in their faith, or they got their feelings hurt, and they become, listen, very vulnerable for somebody to come around and show an interest, and the next thing you know, they've joined up. Now notice the discernment and the protection of the church. The body of Christ is under continual opposition and attack of hosts of demon forces who seek to confuse people in the body of Christ. There are some who get in your ranks that will cause disunity and disturbances. You can pick them out if you just use the Word of God. If you're looking at somebody and their demeanor and the way they behave themselves around the church, you're looking for the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to have the spiritual gift of discernment. All you have to have is the Word of God and know what is a vital sign or the vital signs of a person who is a believer. If they're always in the objective mode, you can believe. It can get demonic. It gets divisive. And you need people that can recognize that and handle those situations. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. So God's given this gift of discernment, and then we can come along with the Word of God if we don't have the gift of discernment, and we can pick them out. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. Paul said to the church, he said, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt." Preachers are bad about this. If we have to go listen to somebody else preach, we tend to be a little bit judgmental if we're not careful. And then as we listen to them, we're listening for theology that is Bible-based, that believes in infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, conservative translations of the Scripture and doctrine. Paul says, don't come to a service every time and be a fault finder. But here's what he says, a little further, look at verse 21. But test them all and hold on to what is good. He says, when you're listening to somebody and he's preaching truth, hang on to that. But then the error, you better discard it. He said, be very discerning. It's very important that the individual believer knows how to do this. Now let's look at the discernment and the process here. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. And see how the gift of the Spirit of discernment that's bestowed on some of us, how it operates. Acts chapter 8, verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money. When you go back in Acts chapter 8, you'll see Philip was preaching, people were getting saved right and left. God was really, really working. Well, there's this guy there whose name is Simon the Sorcerer. Well, who is a sorcerer? He is a man who can deceive. He has the ability to deceive people. He has, listen, supernatural power given to him by Satan. In biblical times, there were many who were in contact with the spirit world. There were many who were in contact with the demonic forces who did their miracles by the supernatural power of the devil. Now, what does the devil like to do? Satan is never original. He likes to duplicate the things God has done. Well, Philip goes on preaching. Guess what? More people getting saved. And all of a sudden, Simon the sorcerer, he comes along and he gets saved too. And he's baptized. And everybody thinks, man, that's great. And also he has such a magnetic personality, very charismatic. He can just draw people in. Think about the people that he can lead to Jesus now that he's been saved. But if you look in verse 18, you'll find that when the apostles, he says, came from Jerusalem to Samaria and laid hands upon those who received Christ, the people received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Simon said, man, I want that power too. I know the money I could make off of that. So he went to the disciples and said, I'll pay you a sum of money to give me the gift so I can bestow the Holy Spirit upon people. He just add that to his bag of magic tricks is what he's going to do. So he began to think about what he could do if he had this power. So Simon Peter and the apostles were there, and he just Simon had never seen anything like this before. Nothing the devil had ever given him could match this. There's a real sense here. He had no idea what was going on. Now look at verse 18. Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on the hands. He offered them money and said to me, give the ability so that everyone on whom I lay hands will receive the Holy Spirit. Now look at what Peter did. Now today we hear, don't judge people. Don't call them out on anything. You know, we're all our own God. If it feels good, do it. Look at what Peter does. Number one, by this foolish statement that Simon made concerning buying the gift and power of the Holy Spirit and use it for prostituting it for his own welfare and his own personal gain, Peter knew what was in Simon's heart. Write that down about the spiritual gift of discernment. You know what's going on in a person's heart because the Holy Spirit reveals that to you with that gift. Peter also knew his motive. He knew his intent. And so Peter looked at Simon and said this, your heart is not right in the sight of God. The Bible says that only the Holy Spirit can know the heart, and only the Holy Spirit can try the heart of a man. So the only way Peter could make a statement about Simon the sorcerer is that he had the spiritual gift of discernment. And listen, these gifts are given to us by God, and they're not of ourselves. They are outside of ourselves. They're outside our senses. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God gave Peter the gift, the spiritual gift of discernment, and he called out Simon. Now notice the discernment and the protest of Satan when this happens, and that's in Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Acts 13, verse 6 says, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Now, his name is also translated Joseph, and also you'll see it as Elymas as you look at the translation. So again, you got a man here who has gifts given to him by Satan, powers that he can do. Remember what I said, Satan is the great imitator. So Elymas, he is known very well in this region. Well, there's a man there named Sergius Paulus. He's the deputy in that area, or what you'd call the governor of that part. And he heard about Paul and Barnabas, and he said, I want you to come and see me and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me what Jesus did on the cross, why he did it, and how I can be saved. Well, guess who's nearby? Elymas is nearby, Sergius. He says, hey, you sure you want to listen to these guys? Well, it's all right to listen to these guys, but said, you can count on me for the truth. So here we go. Listen, once you start winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is going to show up with division, deceit, and error. You don't want to listen to this man over here. Don't listen to Saul. Don't listen to Barnabas, either one of those guys. And watch this. This sorcerer sought to turn Sergius away from the gospel of Christ. If we had lived in that day, we wouldn't have known that he was a false prophet. We probably would have thought he was a wise person. He probably was. We would have been impressed with his power, with his ability, with his intellect. But Paul was given the gift of discernment of spirits. Now let me ask you a question. How would you like to have been around Paul, and he had the spiritual gift of discernment, and you were out teaching error? Do you think Paul would have the courage and the backbone to approach you eye to eye, face to face, and give you a tongue lashing? I think so. And that's what happens here. Look at verse 9 and 10. Then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice it's careful to say he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not in the flesh. Looked straight at Elymas. And here's some of you say Elymas here over in Silver Creek. He says, you are a child of the devil. That's fairly strong. And an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of God? Busted. That's pretty hot. You got to remember, when you think about discerning of spirits, the way of God works and the way the devil works. The devil doesn't say, now listen, I'm out here trying to turn everybody away from the gospel. I don't think that's the devil's approach. I don't think that's what his approach was at all. I don't think this sorcerer was going to Sergius and saying to him, now listen, Mr. Deputy, listen, Mr. Governor, you don't need to listen to that man, Paul. You need to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, after they share with you, you need to come to me and hear the rest of the story. I think that Elymas was using some kind of deception, but it was enough of a lie to keep Sergius away from the gospel, away from Paul, and away from salvation. He was trying to turn this man away, so just remember, we know because God tells us about it in his word, the people who were living then didn't know. And here was this man named Paul, and here was this sorcerer over here. Paul had the truth. The sorcerer had deception. In verse 9, Paul called, listen, then Saul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, said, you're a man of the devil, and you keep perverting the right ways. Do we see the right ways in our country perverted? We can start that out with abortion. I was listening to a female athlete, a track star, yesterday on television. She said, I've had compete with transgenders in high school, and I lost every time. Now I'm having to compete in women's sport with transgenders, and I lose every time. We just need to get back to the Bible basis of who we are, male and female, the way God created us. But we're told in our nation, you can't take a stand against all these other genders and people wondering what they are and who they are and change with the phase of the moon. Today I'm a guy. Today I'm a girl. Today I am nothing. I was listening to the news the other day. I try not to listen to too much. And they said, this is a landmark day in the history of the United States. A man finally, after several years, has a gender neutral passport. Well, praise God. That made my whole day. What about you? That man needs something to do. He needs a job. He needs something to take up his time, but he's working on that, paying legal fees for years. So Paul says, will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now listen, this Elymas, he's not out here saying there is no God. He's not out here saying there is no hell. He's not saying there is no blood that ran from Calvary, from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just perverting the right ways of the Lord. These who claim that there's salvation in some other way, there's additional revelations, you have to have a particular gift to be saved. All these kinds of things have been with us for a long, long, long time. They're nothing new. The Bible says, listen, Satan don't want to go around saying this. Only a fool says in his heart, there what? Is no God. So the devil's not out here telling people there's no hell, that there's no heaven, there's no God. I mean, he may tell a few that because they're dumb enough to believe it, but mainly Satan is deceiving people through false teaching, false prophets, and false religion. Now look here just a little bit further. What happens? We see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Philippians 3, 17 through 19. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I've often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. I think you need to know that there are many enemies of the cross that are in our day. There they are in Paul's day. He says they're dangerous, they're destructive. And listen, today they have free access to television, radio, and the internet to spread their poisonous message of destruction. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves." So false prophets are deceptive. They talk like a Christian, they look like a Christian, but they have the deceiving power of Satan within them. Then he says here, false prophets are determined. He says in 7:15 of Matthew, he says, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They like hungry, vicious predators. They keep coming. They especially want the spiritually sick Christians. They want the Christians that are the baby Christians. They want to deceive those who have dropped out of the body of Christ. They want to deceive those who are not in the Word of God anymore. And they're very successful in doing that. I remember on two different occasions in our church through the last 24 and a half years, we had some people who decided, hey, we're going to start a home church. The Bible doesn't say anything about having a church in a building like we have here. So there's a man in town that we've made friends with, and he's going to be our spiritual leader. Well, I said, well, praise God for that. You're not involved much in Bible study in your own church where you are now. You don't have discernment, and here's the stages they go to. They come, they may get saved, and then they don't come. They come to Bible study a while, they quit coming to Bible study, then they quit coming to church, and then all of a sudden they come to me and say, now we're starting a house church. That's the biblical pattern. And I can tell you, I'm not a gambling man, but I'd be rich if I bet on all these. I said, now look, the next step for you is this guy that's going to be teaching you, not always, but most of the time, this guy's going to teach you is not of sound doctrine, nor is he living a moral life. And guess what happened to one of them? He was teaching false teachings, and he was carrying on an affair with somebody else. And you know what? That wonderful house church broke up. And you know what happened to the people from our church that went there? They don't go to church anywhere anymore. I know of two cases just like that. Some of you remember the Jim Jones cult. 1,000 people committed suicide that day who were raised in churches, in Sunday school, in church, just like this. They were deceived by him in such a powerful way, they were willing to commit suicide for his cause. Notice this other thing. False prophets are deadly. Matthew 7:15, they lure you into their belief system. And we trip the snare, and they can and will destroy your mind. They'll destroy your marriage, and they'll destroy your ministry. I'm amazed now at the people who have felt led of God to be in a church for a long time. They're involved in our missions. They're involved in our ministries. They're involved in our Bible studies. And I realize that 68% of people choose a church because of friends and family. 18% choose a church because of the style of music. And to tell you how irrelevant I am, 9% choose a church because of the pastor, his personality, and his preaching. So when people start leaving, I'm not worried about it. I'm only responsible for 9% of the people here. But you know, when I read those statistics from George Barna, where does God's will get lost in why we choose a church? Y'all missing some people. I run into them in Kroger. I said, well, I've been missing y'all. Our daughter fell in love with a guy in a youth group in a church across town. So we have all moved to our daughter's boyfriend's church. Now, these people obviously do not have the spiritual gift of discernment. these people obviously don't read the Word of God, and these people obviously don't have any horse sense. I'm amazed at people who split churches in Rome, Georgia over the last 24 and a half years and go out and, quote, start a new church. Pastor gets mad, gets up and resigns in the middle of a service because the people won't do what he wants to do, and 100 people follow him out the door. Oh, we're starting so-and-so church down the street. That's not a church start. That's a split. Do you know the difference in that? I believe in planting churches. But we need to plant churches in places where there are not many churches. Let me ask you this. How many churches do you think are in Rome, Georgia? There's some people right over here that just moved up here from another town, joined our church, and they looked at me and said, we cannot believe how many churches are in Rome, Georgia. They're on every corner. Were there 300, 400, 500? I tried to Google that last night, and it won't even tell you how many churches we have. So we get more and more coming along and say, oh, I know exactly how to do church the Bible way, so I'm going to start something down the road here. And what happens is you get a guy who has a very charismatic personality to draw people. Sometimes they can sing, they can play any kind of instrument, and they can preach the bark off a tree. So what happens? Rome is like this with restaurants and churches. They go where it's hot and where it's brand new. And you know what happens with these new church starts that we get in this town? I heard one of our staff members describe it best. We don't win many people in this town with all of our churches. What we do is shuffle the furniture. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We just swap in members. Then the next thing you know, that Mr. Personality, listen, you never want to go to a church that is built on the personality of the pastor. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the personality of the pastor. What's going to happen? They come in with a church plant from outside or inside. They're critical of all the other churches around. You would not believe some of the advertising and some of the profanity that some of these church starts use to criticize the already existing churches in Rome and Floyd County. You can talk to Richard about what happened over in Bartow County several years ago. Next thing you know, the pastor's having an affair. Next thing you know, he's embezzled the new church. What happened to those Christians? Did anybody have the spiritual gift of discernment? Did anybody have a Bible? Didn't have the spiritual gift of discernment, but you look where truth is preached and proclaimed, where ministry is taking place. Did you use some plain old-fashioned horse sense to keep yourself out of that mess? And what happens? When people fall out of love with the personality, no immorality, they fall out of love with the personality, they start leaving the church. When there's moral failure, what do? They start leaving the church and going to other churches. We are moving the furniture again, Christians going from one church to another. Delaney and I are blessed to get Christmas cards from you all every year. There must be 100 or more on our mantle. Well, what's amazing is we still get Christmas cards, probably like Mark, probably like Richard and Denise, Billy, and others from faraway places, people we ministered to years ago. We got a Christmas card this year, and I always like to look at the postmark on it first. It said Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I thought, we don't know but one family in Arkansas, and my friend there has already retired. And so I open this up, says, Dear Dr. May and Delaine, you may not remember me. My name is Mrs. Ball. And I'm going, you're right. I have no idea who you are. Said, we came to your church in the early 90s, which would have been First Baptist Church, Warrington. And my husband moved with his job. And she said, we started going to your church. She said, all our lives we had gone to a different kind of church, a different denomination. Now, the denomination that they went to, they believed in accepting Jesus as your Savior, but to be saved, it was also based on your works every day. So their denomination says the blood of Jesus is insufficient. So what determines whether you go to heaven or hell is how you live, how many works you perform that are recognized by God on the day you die. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around living like that. So they came to our church. Now understand, I'm reading this Christmas card. I've got no idea who this is. It said, my husband was involved, I was involved. Thank you for preaching the gospel. We had never heard that before. She said, and our son, Aaron, got saved, and you baptized him. We'll never be able to thank you enough for telling us the whole truth about salvation. Well, when I got to work the next week, I buzzed Mark on his intercom. I said, Mark, do you know anybody's last name Ball from Fayetteville, Arkansas, that used to live in Warrenton? Were you there then? And Mark thought for a little while. He said, there was a Mr. Bowball that was on the search committee when you were looking for a youth and music minister. So that went back to 1995. And so I started thinking a little further, and I put it all in line. And then I was thinking, I remember in my ordination sermon, I was told to preach the gospel in season, out of season. Doesn't matter what the politically correct police say. It doesn't matter how many people Satan's got out here that are operating in his power. And here's a lady, after all these years, she writes back and says, thank you for telling us the truth. Let me ask you a question. Do you have horse sense? Common sense? Listen, you don't have to have the spiritual gift. Just get in the Word. You'll recognize what's right and wrong. You'll recognize who's true and false. But then God, out of His grace, put some people in place where they can look in your heart. And they can look at your motives, what you're thinking, what you're planning to do with what you're teaching or the way you're living. And sometimes that person in the Holy Spirit will come up to you if those motives are improper and you're deceiving people and tell you in the body of Christ, you're busted. Do you have the spiritual gift of discernment? Are you going to stick to the truth? Or are you going to conform to our culture? If we're going to have unity in our church, we've got to always, always, always be on our guard concerning the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Will you stand right where you are? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. This is something we don't talk about very much. And Lord, it's something that's very, very essential for us to be able to move forward sharing the gospel and also being on guard against Satan's attacks. Because our battle is not really against flesh and blood. It's spiritual. Sometimes that spiritual enemy indwells inside a person, and we have to deal with that as well. Give us discernment. Help us to always hold up the truth. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm telling you the truth, that Jesus lived a perfect life, lived on this earth, went willingly to the cross, allowed his body to be offered and his blood as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could have the free gift of salvation. He rose again the third day. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Ted's going to be at the front with me in just a moment. Dan's going to be at the front over in the Family Life Center. If you don't know how to trust Jesus, we'll make it very simple with no pressure to share with you the truth from the Word of God. Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. God's calling you to Pleasant Valley South to invest your spiritual gifts. Maybe you're here and you've already made your decision for Christ, need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. We invite you to come. And Lord, as we leave this place today, help us to live Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered lives and be very sensitive to truth and error that is around us, and help us to always be people of the truth and what we say and the way we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Dan's coming forward with the praise band in the Family Life Center. If you need to make a decision, we invite you to come forward as the praise band plays. If for some reason, because of COVID, or because you just don't want to go before people, meet him at the InTouch desk after the invitation. Same situation here, uncomfortable coming forward. Ted and I will be at the desk in the Welcome Center after the service to receive you and pray with you and let you share with us what your decision is. And then if you're listening to us on your electronic device, go to 706-234-1841 and leave a message, and a staff member will get back with you as soon as possible. Mark's leading our invitation now. You come as God speaks to your heart.